Will you pray with me? Dear God, we are in your presence. We are here to listen to your word, Lord. Lord, help us to understand your way in our life and help us to know that what we have to do after we leaving this in a sanctuary today. We pray this in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I have an announcement. I heard that the Main Street project is ahead of schedule, so it is likely that the section between Fitzhugh's and M20 will be closed off beginning next Sunday. So there will be no access to our church building from Main Street in the next Sunday. If you have any question, just give us a call to the office or contact John Hurton. We are continuing our new sermon series on Jesus' parables. And today, the parable is the parable of a mustard seed. And when you read that scripture today, what do you feel about God? Yes, God is doing amazing things, right, in his kingdom. And there are two things known about Jesus of Nazareth around the world by Christians and non-Christians. They are following this. Jesus was crucified in the first century, and he taught in parables. Non-believers and believers, they all agree with these two things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified on the cross, and he taught in the parables. Jesus, as the Christ, is the revealer of God. He says to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." God has allowed us to see Jesus Christ, to see him through Jesus Christ. God has allowed us to understand his will through the ministries of Jesus in 2,000 years ago, which is recorded in the Bible. God reveals his love and care, concern for all of us through Jesus Christ on the cross. And Jesus Christ is a revealer of who God is, of what God is doing in our lives. What is our worldview as a Christian? Worldview is really, really important. What is our worldview as Christians? Simply, it is God's creation, sin, and redemption. God created the world. In the culmination of his creation were human beings, Adam and Eve. But they sinned. They did not obey the word of God. Because of their sin, all creation has been suffering. But that's not it. God had a plan for the redemption of his creation. So he sent out Jesus Christ to us to crucify him on the cross for our sin. And there's a redemption. So our Christian worldview is very simple. God created the world, but sin came in the world. The sufferings we have in the world is a symptom of our sin. But that's not it. God has sent Jesus Christ to us. His redemption plan. We know that. That is our worldview. That is the lens how we see the world. Jesus as Christ is the redeemer of humanity. So Jesus' teaching, especially parables, are the primary medium of God's revelation. And the cross is the primary means of God's redemption. The parable is the combinational word of para and bowl. Para means close beside. Bowl means test. So parable can be understood as a teaching tool cast alongside the truth being taught. Its basic and primary meaning is comparison. By means of parables, Jesus carried on instruction by making the comparison between eternal values and realities and the common human experience of our day. In Matthew 13, we find the seven parables. So the chapter is called the Parable Discourse. And the third one is the parable of the mustard seed. This parable was addressed to the crowds. And Heidi showed us the mustard seed today. And it is, it appears in all three synoptic gospels, the mustard seed parables, Matthew, Mark, Luke. But Mark uses a little bit different language there. But the whole message is the same. Outward growth of the kingdom from the smallest to the greatest. Let me repeat this. Outward growth of the kingdom from the smallest to the greatest. That is the message of the mustard seed in Jesus' parables. A mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds, not only in Israel, but also in the Gentile Hellenistic world in Jesus' time. A mustard seed is an annual herb from which an oil is derived for use as a seasoning. The seed is indeed very small, measuring 0.75 inches in diameter, but the plant it produces can become 6, 12, or in rare cases, even 15 feet high. But a mustard seed can be easily unnoticeable and negligible. The beginning was insignificant, but its ending is triumphant. This morning, I'd like to share with you the kingdom perspectives, which are the perspectives we should develop and sharpen as we live as the kingdom citizen in our world. So, I'm going to share with you the kingdom perspective from the perspective of eternity, past, present, and future. In combining all those four aspects, we form the kingdom perspective. So the first kingdom perspective is about eternity, eternal perspective. It is a perspective of God, especially Almighty God. This perspective gives us hope. In the parable of the mustard seed, we find our God is the God of power and might. God is an almighty God. God's power and strength are holding the world strongly to fulfill his plan of redemption for his creation. So we can fully depend on him. When you read the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, whenever God tried to have a conversation with the Israelites in trouble, to help them out, God repeatedly talks about two stories. The first one is the creation story. And second is the Exodus story. Because those two stories reveal God's power to the Israelites. It means, whatever the situations you are in, don't worry about it. I'm the God of a creator. I'm the God who makes my people free from the bondage in Exodus, through Exodus. So God repeatedly tells us about these two stories, especially when he deals with the Israelites in trouble. You know that the words God remembers, that phrase, you know, comes out repeatedly in the Bible. It means God never forgets what he said, what he promised. Ultimately, he will fulfill what he has promised with his people. When God says, I remember, it means God is Almighty God. He will fulfill his will and plan and purpose with his almighty power. Amen? Amen. I'd like to encourage you to read Psalm 77. In that psalm, there is a person. We do not know who he is, but I guess he must be a king in big troubles. We do not know what kinds of sufferings he has right now, but he prayed to God continually, even at night. But he felt God is not listening to his prayer. So he started to think about his past life experience, if there is any wrong things he made before the eyes of God. But that was useless. all of a sudden in the middle of the psalm, the tone of the psalm is changed totally differently. All of a sudden, he praised God, the God who delivered Israelite from Egypt. And then he started to focus on the power of God, delivering people and also his rule all over the world. The things that Psalm teaches us is this. Sometimes we are pretty much preoccupied with the negative things in our life. Problems. Yes, I have this problem and that problem. Instead of focusing our negatives in our lives, we are to focus on the power of God, the Almighty God. One thing that stands out in the psalm is this. Even though he felt he didn't receive the answer from God, he never gave up his prayer. What we are seeing right now, not the things, the problems we have in our lives. Instead, we need to focus on God who is almighty and powerful. The first kingdom perspective is this, our eternal God. We need to see God is working right now in my life, in this church, and in this world. As a kingdom builders and kingdom workers, we have to see God working mightily in this world. Amen? Our second perspective is about our past. The kingdom work has already been started. This perspective allows us to become humble as God's kingdom workers. Who is the planter of the seed here in this parable? The Jesus Christ. He came to us in the world as a man and God, and the kingdom of heaven has arrived here and will arrive yet. Jesus' kingdom work has begun already. Jesus has already planted a seed in us and in the world. And our life story is part of God's grand kingdom story. Jesus Christ has already started his kingdom work in us. Through us, he wants to expand his kingdom story. When I served the Troy Korean Church, we didn't have youth service on Sundays, but with a lot of prayers and conversation with the church leaders, we decided to start the service for the young adult people at the church. So we had 2 o'clock in the afternoon Sunday worship service for the young adult members. Most of them are college students and graduate school students. But the problem is, even though there are almost 20 churches in Michigan area, Korean churches, our church was the only church which has the young adult service on Sunday. So we prayed for the churches, the Korean churches in Michigan area, in Detroit area, to have young adult service for 2 years. After 2 years, do you know what happened? Some of the churches in Michigan area, they started to have their own young adult service. But I didn't tell them, we prayed for them. And later, I found out that in my conversation with one of my church members, she is in the 90s, and she said, Pastor, as you know, we have Saturday night prayer meeting, our old people at our church. We pray for our Sunday worship service, and also we pray for our pastors who is preaching on Sunday. And she said this, Pastor, do you know that? We have prayed for our young adult members to have their own Sunday worship service. And I realized that, yes, even though we see the success of our ministry, there is always seed planted before in the past. That makes me feel very humble. God already started a good work in our life. I believe there must be our church members who pray for this kingdom work through our church in our Midland and also in the world. Those seeds, must be planted in the past. Now it is our turn to plant the seeds of God's kingdom for our future. Amen. As a kingdom builders, we have to remember this. In the past, there are people, God's people, who plant the seeds of God's kingdom here in this church. It is now our turn. The third kingdom perspective is about our present time. We are in the process of a wonderful outcome of God's kingdom. This perspective gives us a mind of patience. The kingdom of heaven does not happen overnight. To become a tree from a mustard seed, it takes time. The kingdom comes to us progressively. So we need patience. We especially need active patience. Here is the advice from James to all of us. James 5, verse 7 through 8. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until he receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. For the abundant crop, farmers patiently wait for the harvest time. They do not stay home until the harvest time. They must go out to the field and spend time pulling the weeds out and watering the plants. The farmers do their best and wait for the harvest time. There is a Korean saying that is related to this kingdom perspective. It says, 진인사 대천명. That is not the Korean word, that is the Chinese word. In ancient time of Korea, we used to adopt the Chinese character. So, 진인사 대천명. It means, do your best and leave the rest to God. The chun means literally sky, but it symbolizes God. Do your best and leave the rest to God. Do your best and God will take care of you, the rest of other things. Lauren Cunningham, a founder of the International Christian Missionary Movement, Youth with a Mission, and the University of the Nations, used to say this, you do the possible, and then God will do the impossible. Can you repeat that after me? You do the possible, and God will do the impossible. One more time, please. You do the possible, and God will do the impossible. Amen, amen. Our patience requires our best shot at whatever the things we are assigned by God. That is our third kingdom perspective. It requires our patience. But active patience. We need to give our best shot at this work. The last kingdom perspective is about our future. We are to see the big picture of the kingdom. Let us read Matthew 13, 32 together once again. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. In this verse, the important words are so that, because it tells us about the purpose of God's plan through the fully grown tree. Why does the seed need to grow to become a tree? So that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Traditionally, the birds of the air are the Gentiles. That is because the rabbis in Israel used to call the Gentiles the birds of the air. If we lose the sense of urgency for the lost souls, we are spiritually dying. We should be very careful as we can be busy with our ministries even if we do not have the yearning for the lost souls. This perspective requires our faith. We Christians do not just see things as they are. We are to see the things with faith. The kingdom perspective does not only see the full-grown tree from a small seed, but also the birds and their nests in the tree. We are to be able to hear the singing sounds of the birds hidden in the shades of the tree. That is the big picture of the kingdom. To see the big picture from a tiny mustard seed, we needed to have faith. It is not the faith in the tree and the birds. It is a faith in our God who will ultimately bring his kingdom to a full scale in this world. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Let me read in Good News Bible. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. It was by their faith that people of ancient times won God's approval. It is by faith that we understand that the universe was created by God's word, so that what can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. For the past 2 weeks, I had the privilege to go down to Fort Wayne to study at the Concordia Theological Seminary. In the classroom, it is like a UN. We have students from Nigeria, Ethiopia, South Africa, and also Portugal, and South Korea, and even in the United States. It is a well-diversified classroom. And there was a pastor from the United States, he asked this question. I'm very much frustrated because even though the Western churches, you know, have done a lot of ministries in India, but we do not see the changes happening in India. And I had a chance to talk with him about his question. And I told him this. Do you know that India is the most missionary sending out country cross-culturally in the world? When I say cross-culturally, it means even in outside of India, but even inside, because they have a lot of cultures. Cross-culturally, India is the number one missionary sending country. Did you know that? You didn't know that, right? God is working mightily in India. And he said, I didn't know that. It's very impressive. I had a chance to talk with a student from Ethiopia. He is in the late 50s or early 60s. And I asked him, how big is your church? How many members do you have in your church? And he said, 8 million. Because he is the president of Ethiopia Lutheran Church. And the church is growing there. I was shocked. Most of the students there, they are the leaders of their denomination in Africa. And also, they are the pastors of the big churches. So when I came home, I did some research about Africa, and I found out that in Nigeria, there are 84 million of Christians. 84 million. In Congo, 73 million. Ethiopia, 58 million of Christians. South Africa, 44 million of Christians. The median age for Christians in sub-Sahara Africa is 19 years old. It is a very young church in Africa. In the next 10 years, Africa will likely grow to have the most Christians of the continent. 700 million Christians by the end of year 2030. Isn't it amazing? God is not dead. God is working mightily in the world. The things really encouraging is this. All those leaders from Africa, they are sponsored by the churches in the United States. They are helping out for their study, for their lodging, and for their travels. God is using the churches here to expand His kingdom in Africa. That is my prayer about our church. So that God uses continually for His kingdom to share the gospel to the leaders in the third world, in Africa. And also I want to see God's kingdom work continually be done through our church in the life of our young kids, so that we can have a lot of new young Christian leaders from our church. Political leaders, business leaders, and pastors and missionaries from our church. Isn't that amazing? Do you have that picture of the kingdom? Let us pray together. Now it is our turn to plant the seed of God's kingdom for the future. Now, because we are enjoying the seed that was planted several years ago, scores of years ago, by the kingdom builders in that time. And now it is our turn to plant the dreams of God's kingdom seed in the life of our next generation, in the leaders of in Africa and in Asia, in all of the world. Do you see that kind of pictures in your life? Please, let us pray for that. And God will fulfill His will of a kingdom through our church. Amen. 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 Let us pray together. Dear God, You are the Creator. You are the Redeemer. You are a mighty God. Help us meditate on You, who You are, and what You have done for us through Your power and might. Give us more faith, God, that Your kingdom is growing even at this time in this world. We are Your kingdom workers. Let us follow You and join Your mission together. We prayed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you are able. And this is a little bit different, but I'm going to ask if you don't know the Lord's Prayer from memory and want to grab a hymnal. It's number 895. And we're going to sing our song, and then there's an instrumental part in the middle. And during the instrumental part, I'm going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. If you know it by heart, that's great. If you don't, number 895 in the back of the hymnal. Come set Your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are Your church. We need Your power in us. We seek Your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for Your joy our prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are Your church. We pray, revive His earth. Build Your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show Your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set Your church on fire. Win Your people back. Change the atmosphere. Build Your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash Your kingdom's power. Reaching the near and far. Force of hell can stop Your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake,
the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are your hands on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hands. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win your people back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and the land. Set your church on fire. Win your people back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here.
Do not be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ give you hope and patience. May the Holy Spirit remind you of His might as you go out to the world as kingdom builders. Now go in peace. Amen.